Praise the Lord. God is good. Okay, let's get my message out. How many of you have your Bibles with you today? How many of you know God's good?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, open up to Ephesians chapter 2 for 1 minute. I want to read several verses of Scripture, and then we're going to go from there. If you have your Bible with you and you want to underline in it, it's fine. God's not going to be mad at you. You're not desecrating anything. It's okay. All right? If you don't want to write in your Bible, throw it out. Get a new one that you can write in. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together. Hallelujah. And made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Underline that word, in Christ. In Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Underline in Christ. Key words for this morning. Praise God. Father, we praise You. We thank You for Your word this morning. I thank You for everyone here on the sound of my voice, Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit would give them revelations, show them in their hearts and their minds that Jesus loves them. And what a powerful name it is. And Father, we praise You for it and thank You for it in Jesus' name. I want to talk about just this morning for a few minutes this morning about our position in Christ. And when I talk about our position, you know, all of us are in different places in life, right? But I mean, we're in a different situation, we're a different spot, we're in a different place, and it doesn't matter what situation it is, what spot you're in, what place you're in, we want to talk about our place in Christ, all right? That's what's important, who we are, what we are, and what we have, because we are in Christ. Once we receive Jesus, we are in Christ, and there are many rights and many privileges. All right, my wife said, you sound like, she goes, what are you going to talk about? I said, righteousness. She goes, that's Christianity 101. I know. You need it. Because we forget it. You always have to renew yourself and remind yourself. But in any event, so we need to find out what the Word of God, through the Word of God, what these rights, what rights and privileges are. And when we learn them, these rights and these privileges in Christ Jesus, guess what? We'll walk in victory every single day of the week. Amen. Every single day of the week. It says, a lot of people walk around. This is their attitude when they walk around. Talking about believers, non-believers. I'm sometimes up and sometimes down, and I'm almost level with the ground. I just read a verse of Scripture that says you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're not sometimes up and sometimes down, almost level with the ground. See, there's a way around that. Knowing who you are in Christ puts you above everything else. We're not saying you're never going to have a problem, but once you know who you are in Christ, you figure this one out. You're above the problem. Jesus is above the problem. All right? And this only can be recognized by our position in Christ. When I first got into the ministry, I copied this because I saved it. When I first got into the ministry, the Lord spoke to my heart. It was Wednesday, July 16th, 1985. Ronald Reagan was president. Okay, and I had been pastoring 6 months and 6 days. I know to the exact moment, right? And the Lord spoke these words to my heart, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. He said, teach my people my complete counsel, my word. Teach them faith, for there are times coming in which only those who are in the word and know faith will be successful. There are those that will face financial and personal disaster, but those who put the word first will have victory. And part of, and that's what he said, okay? And part of that was to teach believers about their rights and privileges in Christ. Okay? And I've been teaching this for 33 years. And guess what? If you've been praying for me to change, I'm not. God gave me a commission, and I'm sticking to it. And some people say, well, that's old news. It's not old news. It's new news. It's good news. And it's news we need to rehearse over and over and over again. Because I will guarantee you, tomorrow's Monday, and something's going to happen, and you're going to have to know who you are in Christ in order to make it through. All right? So, but once you see what the Word of God says, and you get it in your heart, you're ready. You're ready to fight. Too many times in the church, and when I talk about the church, I'm talking about not just the local church, but all believers have been cheated and robbed of what belongs to them. And it's not because God doesn't like them. A lot of people think that. But it's because there's an ignorance. And I don't mean they're stupid or anything like that when I say ignorant. They're just an ignorance of what God's Word has to say about us. You know, it's more than just coming to church on Sunday or Wednesdays. It's more than that. It's a lifestyle that we live. All right? For instance, many Christians are trying to please God because they don't understand righteousness. All right? And righteousness is our right standing that we have in Christ. Once you receive Jesus, you are in right standing with him. And righteousness means I can come before the throne of God without any feeling of inferiority. I could come before God and don't feel inferior. Some people go to God and they go, oh, God, I am so. You know, when I go to God, I'm awed at God and what he does. You know, it's a different, and who he is, it's a different respect. You know, when you, like these songs we were singing today, it's how wonderful he is. I don't come there like, oh God, man, here I am, look out, I better duck. Now that's the way people come to God. Because you've done something stupid yesterday, you did something stupid, and you think God's surely mad at me. Well, if you think that, then you don't know who you are in Christ. Amen. All right, I'm going to go on a little bit more anyway. They don't understand it. And when we find out about this free gift, it's a free gift. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't buy it. Righteousness is a free gift through faith in Christ. Okay? And once you figure this out, the struggle to be accepted by God is over. It's over. I don't struggle. I don't sit and go, am I really like it? Does God really love me? I don't struggle with that. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It's almost like a baby scripture sometimes, you know, when we quote this. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, everybody say, in Christ. He is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A couple things about that verse of scripture. It doesn't say if any man be in church, he's a new creature. It's because you go to church don't mean you're in Christ. Okay? Neither does it say if you belong to some kind of club or civic group that you're a new creature. Right? But rather, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. A new creation. Or a new species that's never previously existed before. That's what happens because it's speaking about the man in Christ. You're a new creature. Something that's never existed before. And notice also in that text, it says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. Everybody say is. You know, is in the present tense. You're not gonna be. One good old day, if you're in Christ, you is. In Christ, if you receive Jesus as your Savior, you are in Christ now. People always put it off to the future. Well, one good old day when I get to heaven, everything's going to be good. Boy, I'm going to get to the promised land. You don't want to go to promised land, bro. They had to fight giants in the promised land. You know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be in the promised land. You hear people say that all the time. It's like they had to cross the Jordan River, and then they had to fight their way through. That's the life we live in now. And Joshua knew that they had the victory. That's what made him successful. God says every step that you take, that's yours. So he knew he had the victory. He was one of the 12 spies that came back and said, hey, we could take this land. When we get to heaven, there ain't no more fighting. You don't even have to use your faith. It's there. Okay, so getting back to what I was saying, we are now in Christ. The minute you receive Jesus, you're a new creature in Christ. Too many times in the church world, our idea of good and real relationship with God is something that's going to come in the future. It's now. God wants us to bless us now. God wants to be good to us now. And the moment we receive Jesus, that happens. Even some of the songs we sing in church put stuff off to the future. Like this song, we used to sing this all the time. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. That's okay. But I want us to understand from the Word of God that God didn't simply intend for us to have a victory looking out into tomorrow. God expects us to have a victory now in the present. That's what God's looking for us. He wants us to see who we are today in Him. Now, I'm not going to finish this today because it's pretty long, but He wants us to see who we are. And I have a book here. And I don't know how much these books cost, but this little book will revolutionize your life, because in the back of this book are every scripture in the New Testament, within Him, in whom, by whom, to talk that we are in Christ. I don't know how many are there. I think there's, I used to know the exact number, but there's an awful lot. You know, in Him, scriptures, through Christ, through Him, with Christ, of Him, by whom, by His blood. These are all your rights and privileges. People should get this book and eat it. Chew it up. Underline your Bible with all of these. Meditate in them. Do them one at a time. Take you years to do it. But you'll know who you are in Christ. When the devil tries to come against you, when trouble tries to come knocking at your door, you're going to say, wait a minute, I'm in Christ. Turn around and go away. I command you into that wonderful name, that wonderful, powerful name of Jesus, to get off my property. But if you don't know who you are in Him, you're beating air, man, because you don't have confidence. You don't know. You know? He'll give you the victory, thank God. Another verse of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, species of being that never previously existed. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When does that happen? When we're in Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Matter of fact, let's say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am in right standing because I am in Christ. New creatures. Next verse 21 says, for He hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, or in right standing in him. So we are the righteousness of God in right standing in Christ. The moment we're saved, the moment we're born again. Praise God. And as a matter of fact, not only are we the righteousness of God in God, but we are also holy and without blame before him in love. Now, there's a mouthful right there. How could I be? Now, Paul said something over in the book of Ephesians. He said this. He said in verse 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ. Grace, Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God of our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. See, this isn't something you have to work for. You know, that's what the grace of God is. Grace takes the pressure off it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to sweat it out. Am I right? Am I righteous today? Oh, God, I got mad in the car next to me. I did that to the guy next to me. Maybe a few other things, too. But the thing about it's this. You're still the righteousness of God in Christ. If it's based on you, you wouldn't be righteous. It's so we don't... It just came to us as a result of being in Christ. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. We can't buy it. You can't give enough. All right? God foreordained. Now, the word foreordained, when people hear that, they get a little squirrely on you. But it means that he predetermined, he prearranged something. All right? Before the foundation of the world, of those who are in Christ. So if you're going to be in Christ, you know, Jesus saved the whole world, but unless they receive Jesus, they'll never be in Christ. So what he did, he sent salvation to the entire world when Jesus hung on the cross, something we didn't have to do. And with that, he made us prearranged, preordained us, predetermined that when we receive the free gift of salvation through what Jesus did on the cross, and we become in Christ, we're holy and blameless before him in love. And you can't do nothing about it. That's what the good news is. It's not the guy up in New York City walking around with the sandwich board, repent, the end is near. I see them and I go, let's duck. We're in Christ. And this is redemption reality. It's already taken place and you can't change it. It's not going to take place one of these days when you get to the sweet by and by. No, it's right now, June 25th. It's not going to take place. You know, it doesn't happen when you think you've finally arrived, because the minute you think you finally arrive, something's going to happen and you're going to think, oh, I missed the stop. Because things happen in the world. The thing is, you're always that. You're in him. In him, holy without blame. Now, I do realize we have a responsibility to live right before God. Okay, some people take the grace message and bring it to the extreme. No, we have a responsibility, a moral responsibility, and a spiritual responsibility to live right before Christ, before the world, okay? But it has nothing to do, or it doesn't take away from the fact of what you have in Christ, that you're holy and blameless in love, through him. But now that we know that, see, this is where grace comes into the picture. Now that we realize what's taking place, I don't have to struggle to be holy. This makes it easy for me to walk in that holy that he's talking about. Amen. And really, I do believe that knowing who we are and what we have in Christ will help us live a life that's pleasing to God. Because you're not going to want to do anything. Not because you're forced to do it. But you love him and you're just amazed at what he's done for you. So you just don't want to do anything that's going to like hurt him. And the best part is if you do something stupid and hurt him, you could repent. 1 John 1:9 says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we repent. Praise God. So, you know, people get the wrong idea when you talk about holy living. A lot of people in righteousness, holiness, and so forth. You know, back in the day, back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, you had holiness churches. Am I right, my brother Darrell? You grew up in one of them, didn't you? Bun on the hair down to your ankles, and you had to wear them old lady shoes. Okay, no makeup, no jewelry, no nothing. You know what always amazed me about that, though? The pastor, he came in dressed like Donald Trump. I mean, he was rings on his finger, big Rolex watch, and his wife looked like some wash lady. Because they were being holy. You know, they were being legalistic. Amen. Yeah, you were one come out one of them too. Amen. I have people that come out of those churches, they come here, they go, wow, I never knew we could be free. Well, that's the whole message of the gospel, free. So we speak of holy living, people get the wrong idea. They think they have to struggle to please God, and it's not a struggle to please God. Every day I wake up, I'm pleasing God. He created me. They think holiness is a bunch of do's and don'ts. Mostly don'ts. There's very little do's in holiness. That kind of holiness. And again, it's tied up in legalism. You know, it's not about dress codes. You know, holiness, let me tell you something about holiness is this. Holiness is the fruit of the Spirit evident or manifest in one's life. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When that's evident in your life and people see that emanating from you, then you are walking in holiness. Ain't that simple? See, God makes us righteous. He gives us the ability and he gives us the grace to live it. God says, I'm righteous, and guess what? I'm going to give you righteousness to you. You're righteous because I'm righteous. He gave us this gift. What for? Why did he even do it? Well, because he loved mankind. And you're in Christ. You're his kid. Again, we didn't do anything. You know, we had nothing to do with making Jesus die on a cross. That was of his own free will. Jesus did that. We had nothing to do with him becoming sin when he hung on the cross. He did that voluntarily for you. All right? And so, when you wake up in the morning and you don't feel righteous, you don't even act righteous, here's a newsflash for you. You are righteous. And once that dawns on you, you change the way you're thinking. And you change the way you're acting. The moment you... I mean, there's days I get up and I go, I mean, I don't look right. Just, dear God, break the mirror. But, and then again, it's not because of what we've done. It's because of what Jesus has done. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And we'll bring this to a close here very quickly. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word have is another one of those words, present tense. Therefore, being justified, we have, present tense. Now we have peace. How do we get it? By faith. And justified means to be declared righteous. Actually, it means this: just if I've never sinned. Hello? Some of you didn't get it. You're just looking and go, ooh. I'm going to have people sit up here on some Sunday. Just as if I never sinned. Justified. You're justified. God sees us as though we've never sinned. You can't stand any other way before God but holy and without blame. You look at yourself. See, when they went into the promised land and they saw the giants, God saw them as victorious. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. So you're the one who sees yourself unrighteous because of an act you might have done. But when God looks at you, he sees you righteous and holy and without blame before him. So we're going to end that there, all right? But what we've seen, that in Christ, you're a new creature, and that's important. That's important. You're the righteousness of God, holy and without blame. And we're also accepted, highly favored by him, and have redemption through his blood. And that's what next week I want to talk about, redemption through his blood, because it's all part of it. Music ministry, you can come back up here. Well, the music ministry is coming up here. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I am telling you, this is a matter of life and death, true life and true death. When I say life, I'm talking about spiritual life, living eternally in heaven with Jesus, or death, living eternally in hell with the devil. There's no purgatory. There's nothing. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell, one or the other. You want to go to heaven? Amen. In him. Be in Christ. That's it. Very simple. Real simple. Just be in Christ. Well, what do I have to do to be in Christ? Well, admit that you can't make it on your own. Admit that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Amen? You just need a sinner. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. And God provided that for you too. He provided it. See, you don't even have to work for it, earn it, or deserve it. He provides the Savior. All you have to do is receive it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The Word of God says this. It says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you're here this morning and you don't know if you're in Christ, God sent you here on purpose to become in Christ. How am I going to do it? You're going to raise your hand, I'm going to pray for you. And you're going to receive Jesus. You're going to receive that free gift that you had nothing to do with. He just did it because he loves you. He loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. And he became that sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. If that's you this morning, you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, I just want you to slip your hand up. I want to pray with you right where you're at. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Man, don't let this opportunity pass you by. You know, praise God. I've been saved almost 40 years. I was a guy who grew up in the streets, was in business, just crazy as a loon. I'm telling you, Jesus changed my life. I didn't come from a long line of preachers, okay? I came from a long line of gamblers. And so I'm just telling you, Jesus changed my life, and I'm happy, and I'm still crazy, crazy about Jesus. So if you want to pray, again, I'll give you this opportunity. Raise your hand. Just raise it up. Praise God. Thank you. Amen. All right, so if you raise your hand, here's what I want you to do. Just stand up right where you're at. We're not going to, I saw the hands that went up. You don't want me to come down there, do you? Praise God, right here. Young man over here, you want to come down here? Come on, right over here. You're the young man. Come on down here. Praise God. This is the best day. Not only is your child dedicated to the Lord, now dad can be dedicated to the Lord and do the best he can. God's not looking at your past, man. I'm telling you right now, he's looking at your future. Amen? Amen. All right, so just pray this simple prayer with me, and we're going to send you to a little place, going to give you some books, and you'll probably, Glory, did they get one of these books? Do they get one of these in here? Okay, you're going to get one of these books that I talked about. See, I don't have to charge $10 now. You're going to get it for nothing. All right, amen. Okay, praise God. Just reach out and just pray this after me. So I come to you today, God. I come to you today. God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I surrender my heart to you. I give opening for the Holy Spirit to come into my life, to change me, to mold me. I receive Jesus in my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I thank you that today, June 25th, I receive Jesus as my Savior, and I'm born again, and I'm in Christ, and I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What do you got? You got something? She got something here for you. Praise the Lord.